Morning and greetings to each of you in the name of Jesus. Thank you, Ryan, for those songs that you led. In the first song you picked, we sang these words, "Thy word is like an armory where soldiers may repair and find for life's long battle there all needful weapons there." And then the last verse it said, "Oh, may I find my armor there, thy word my trusty sword. I'll learn to fight with every foe the battle of the Lord." The title of the message today is A Good Soldier of Jesus Christ. We'll be looking at two passages of Scripture, one from 2 Timothy and one from Ephesians. So if you want to be turning to 2 Timothy, second chapter, you may. We'll be looking at that here in just a little bit. If you go to Washington, D.C., just a little to the west, across the Potomac River, there's a hill. And that land, that piece of property, was once owned by a man named John Parks Curtis. And he was the son of Martha Washington. She was married before and had a family, and her husband died, and she later married George Washington. It was a vast estate. This John passed it on to his son, George Washington Parks Curtis. And George Washington Parks Curtis, built a large mansion on this property called the Arlington House. When he died, he bequeathed it to his daughter. Her name was Marianna. And she later married the famous Army General Robert E. Lee. And they lived in that house there, west of the Potomac. Well, the Civil War came on, and Robert E. Lee was a general in the U.S. Army, and he had to make a decision about which side he was going to go with. And the story is told that he paced the upstairs of the Arlington House trying to decide all night one night. But he ultimately decided to join the Confederate Army, and so he left the Arlington House and went to Richmond to join the Confederate forces. Later, his wife left that property too, and soon after, the U.S. Army took over that land. And as casualties mounted in the Civil War, they needed a place to bury these people, and General Meade was spited that Robert E. Lee had defected to the Confederacy, and so he ordered that these dead soldiers be buried on that property right close to the house. And eventually they also put a tomb of soldiers from the Civil War in Mrs. Anna Marianna's rose garden as a form of spite. So the property never went back to the Lees. In fact, today that land is called the Arlington Cemetery. And there's around 400,000 soldiers buried in that property. Probably many of you have visited the Arlington Cemetery and seen that place. And if you did, you went up on the hill to where there's a tomb of the unknown soldiers, and they do a changing of the guard. And the soldiers that guard that tomb are one of the most elite groups in the Army. They must go through stringent testing. They must fit a exact physical description, and they have to be very, very disciplined to receive that post or that honor. They must have a military record that is free of blemishes from such issues as disciplinary problems, drunkenness, drugs, or any kind of negative behavior. Tomb guards must have a personal drive and self-discipline. They must maintain high standards, and they must have the physical stamina for a constant watch of the tomb, which is guarded 24 hours a day, 365 days a year, rain, snow, heat, cold, it doesn't matter. Those men are out there walking that that tarmac or whatever it's called. When I was somewhere between 16 and 18, I'm not sure, our family got to know one of these guards through a man that we knew there in Washington, D.C. His name was Derringer Fenton, and I looked him up, and he served from September of 1998 to September of 2000. And he came down to our farm and visited us there. I don't remember a whole lot about him other than the fact that he drove a red Camaro, and he let me drive it, and that was the one and only Camaro I've ever driven in my life. And that I was just amazed at the discipline that was required of those soldiers to be a part of that guard. They would spend 6 hours a day just preparing their uniforms for the next day's service. And they also, I think he said that he would I don't remember exactly, but they would spend an incredible amount of time just shining their shoes. And so when they went out for their term of service, they were impeccably dressed, ready for that time. And so in a sense, those tomb guards are the perfect specimen of a soldier. They are extremely well-disciplined, they are perfectly dressed, and they are strong. Today, I want to look at what it means to be a good soldier of Jesus Christ. Let's look at our passage here in 2 Timothy chapter 2. Paul uses this imagery of being a soldier of Jesus Christ. It says in verse 1, "You therefore, my son, be strong in the grace that is in Christ Jesus, and the things that you have heard from me among many witnesses, commit these to faithful men who will be able to teach others also. You, therefore, must endure hardship as a good soldier of Jesus Christ." Now, as I said, we're going to be looking at this passage and one in Ephesians. And both 2 Timothy and Ephesians were written during a time when Paul was under house arrest in Rome. And so he was there. We don't know what the situation was exactly, but very likely he was guarded by a Roman guard or a Roman soldier. Possibly he was even chained to a guard. And so as he's writing here, and as he writes in Ephesians, I just imagine that Paul is looking over there, and he's seeing that soldier, and he's seeing something in that man that he once duplicated in his brothers and sisters in Christ. There's something that this soldier has learned. And so he's here. Just imagine that there's this strong, young, muscular, well-disciplined, well-armed soldier standing there beside him. And so I think that Paul is saying there's things about a soldier that we need to understand and we need to get a hold to and we need to apply to our lives today. We don't believe in being part of the military and joining the carnal warfare of our world. But we do believe in a warfare. We believe that we are spiritual warriors. And so when we think about our inner man, who we are inside, we need to think of ourselves as a warrior, as a good soldier of Jesus Christ. So today we're going to look at three things that I believe are imperative for you and I if we're going to be a good soldier of Jesus Christ. And that is, we need to be disciplined, we need to be armed, and we need to be strong. In our text today, Paul calls on Timothy to endure hardness as a good soldier of Jesus Christ. And that has to be the attitude of a soldier. He is going into battle. He is planning and expecting for there to be hard things. If a soldier is just going to join the military and expecting it to be an easy street, he's totally wrong, right? When you sign up for the military, you're signing up for hardship. And the discipline of the Roman army back then was severe. One writer said that every soldier was compelled to endure hardship. The weapons were heavy, and in addition to them, the ordinary foot soldier was compelled to carry a saw, a basket, a pickaxe, an axe, a thong of leather, and a hook, together with 3 days of rations. He had to carry a lot of weight. He had to be willing to just shoulder it and take it on. And so I believe the same is true for us as believers. We have to go into this life expecting and planning to endure hardship. It's part of the journey. If we don't have that attitude, I'm afraid we're really not going to ever accomplish much for Christ. We have to just be okay with enduring hardship. Instead of running away from hard things, I believe we are called to lean into them and take up the challenge. You know, we all want things easy and nice, right? We want things just to be comfortable. That's not the Christian life all the time. There's times of rest. Yes, praise the Lord for those times. But many times there's difficulty, and there's times when we have to just lean in and be okay with the hard things. You see, our goal is not to just make things as easy and comfortable, but our goal is to please our commander, whatever he calls us to, that we may please our commander. And so he says, no one engaged in warfare entangles himself with the affairs of this life, that he may please him who has enlisted him as a soldier. A soldier has to be willing to say no to certain things in life. He has to be willing to give up things if he's going to be a soldier. For the Roman soldier of that day, they were expected to keep one thing in their sights, and that was doing what their commander told them to do. They couldn't have farms. They couldn't have businesses. They couldn't even get married. They were focused. They were soldiers. Now, obviously, we can get married, and we can have businesses, and that's part of who we are. But you get the idea. They were focused. They had a single focus on what they were to do. That was to please their commander. And so for you and I, there are things that we have to be willing to curtail and give up so that we can render service to God. The Bible teaches us that we need to deny ourselves and live a life of crucifying our fleshly and selfish desires. We need to be willing to say no to areas of sin. Certainly it includes that, but there may be other areas that aren't sin that you have to give up, that you must be willing to just lay down. And so by God's grace and with his power, we must control our emotions and our desires and our impulses. And that means we have to have the power and the determination and the courage and commitment to say no to that which is sinful and yes to that which is holy. Did you get that? The power and the determination and the courage and commitment to say no to that which is unholy and yes to that which is holy. Enduring hardship, being willing to say no to ourselves. I think about that. I think about Paul when he says, I discipline my body, or I buffet my body and bring it under subjection, lest when I have preached to others, I myself should become disqualified. You see, some things in the Christian life are external, and there's things that are hard that we have to endure, but there's also a sense in which we have to be hard on ourselves. We need to be disciplined. We need to say no to ourselves sometimes. And I think that's what Paul's talking about there, where he says, I discipline my body. There's things, he said, I say no to. I'm hard on myself. And that's a good way to be hard on yourself. So I ask you, are there areas in your life that you need to give up in order to be a better service to your commander? Are there things, maybe even legitimate things, that you need to say no to be disciplined? One just practical way to live out this principle is the spiritual discipline of fasting. Do you fast? And why do you fast? You see, fasting is a time when you, in a sense, endure hardness. You just say, I'm going through this time where I'm going to say no to what I want. And you choose to just disentangle yourself from the civilian affairs of eating. And you just accept the discipline of fasting. A good soldier of Jesus Christ must be disciplined. He must be willing to endure the hard things that come his way. And he also must be hard on himself, in a sense. The second thing I'd like to look at is he must be armed. I invite you to turn to Ephesians chapter 6. As I said earlier, keep in mind that this was, as far as we know, this was written during the same time Paul was under house arrest, and he would have more than likely had a soldier right there that he was looking at as he penned these words. Ephesians 6, starting in verse 10. Finally, my brethren, be strong in the Lord and in the power of his might. Put on the whole armor of God, that you may be able to stand against the wiles of the devil. For we do not wrestle against flesh and blood, but against principalities, against powers, against spiritual hosts of wickedness in heavenly places. Therefore, take up the whole armor of God, that you may be able to withstand in the evil day, and having done all, to stand. Stand, therefore, having girded your waist with truth, having put on the breastplate of righteousness, and having shod your feet with the preparation of the gospel of peace. And above all, taking the shield of faith with which you will be able to quench all the fiery darts of the wicked one. And take the helmet of salvation and the sword of the Spirit, which is the word of God. Praying always with all prayer and supplication in the Spirit, being watchful to this end with all perseverance and supplication for all the saints. Well, brothers and sisters, you know this, but we have an enemy that is an expert at shooting fiery darts at us. And if we as soldiers are unarmed, those darts, those fiery darts, will find their way into our hearts, into our minds, into our souls, and do their deadly destruction. And I'm afraid that too many Christians today just look at this world as just a playground. They don't see it as a battlefield. Proverbially speaking, they're just sauntering along in their pajamas and their flip-flops. They're just relaxed. It's just easy. And they forget we are in a war. But if you're in a war, you have to be dressed for it. You have to be prepared for it. You need to have on the armor of God. And so Paul is calling us here to remember who we are. We're soldiers, and get suited up for battle. We need to be dressed and alert and on guard. And if you could just picture this soldier here standing beside me, and we just look down across him, he's got his head covered. He's got a helmet on. And then his torso is covered with this sheet of a breastplate or a sheet of mail. And then he has this belt around his waist, but it's not just a belt, but it's got strips of copper hanging down from it that covers his groin and upper legs. And then he's got on these good, sturdy boots. He's covered. He's prepared. He's ready. And I don't think we need to just try to look at these things and figure out how they fit on a body. But what Paul is saying is you need to be dressed. You need to be equipped fully. And then he talks to us about all these different resources that we are given by our commander. Salvation and righteousness and faith and truth and the gospel and prayer. All those are things that God has given us. He's equipped his saints with. And they're there for us to take a hold and use in this battle, in this war. And I want to just think about them briefly. We have truth, that fortification against the lies of Satan. Satan is a liar and the father of it, and he loves to plant lies in our lives. But the truth is our fortification against that. And so we need to surround ourselves with that which is real and true. We need to know the truth. We need to believe the truth. We need to confess the truth. And we need to speak the truth. Truth is one of those things that we put on. There's righteousness. Righteousness. What is righteousness? We talked about this in men's Sunday school. But I believe that righteousness is both something that is declared to us and is something that we must live out. We are given righteousness, but it has to be practiced. It's living out the reality of Christ in my life, living out a Christ-like lifestyle, my speech, my actions. And when we live out that righteousness, it frees us to march forward with confidence. You see, if we're not living like we should, if we're not being the people that we should be, it kind of destroys our confidence, right? We have to be living out this righteousness. And I know we don't do it perfectly, but by the grace of God and with his help, we need to be living a righteous life. It gives us the confidence to move forward to Christian victory. Talks here in the armor about the gospel of peace. Do you think about the gospel as being armor or a weapon? It has the idea of being prepared to share the gospel. Being ready. And I think if we think about it, the gospel of peace is an incredibly powerful weapon against the forces of darkness. The gospel of peace can change people's lives. It can bring a person out of the kingdom of darkness and into the kingdom of light. And so we shouldn't be ashamed of the gospel. We should be declaring the gospel. It's a weapon we should be using against the forces of darkness. Be ready to share the gospel. We have faith. Faith. In Ephesians here, he talks about these being able to quench all the fiery darts of the wicked one. I'm told that in ancient warfare, as the army was approaching, they would shoot a volley of flaming darts at the enemy. And it wasn't so much that they would do so much damage. I'm sure they would, but the idea was to create fear and panic in the people that they were attacking. And doesn't Satan do that so well today? Shoot those fiery darts into our souls to create fear and panic. But the answer is faith. Faith quenches those fiery darts. That's a fortification against the attacks of Satan. And so faith is living in and dealing with a situation with our eyes on the unseen. It is trusting and believing in God, that God knows about and sees the situation. And when we place our confidence and our trust in God, I believe that it defeats the purposes of Satan. It stops the work of the devil. The shield of faith. In this armor, it talks about the helmet of salvation. And oh, how Satan likes to attack the believer and cause him to doubt his salvation. Someone said that Satan wants the unbeliever to feel saved and the believer to feel unsaved. And doesn't he do that? He wants to cause us to doubt our salvation. But again, we're called back to faith and trust in God. And assurance of salvation, trusting God for our salvation, frees us to move forward in confidence. He talks here about the sword of the Spirit, the Word of God. Taking up the Word of God, having that Word of God in your heart, ready to use when Satan attacks us. Jesus used it. He used the Word of God when Satan came to him. And so the challenge is for you and I to take up the Word of God, to put it in our hearts, so that we're equipped to use it. And lastly is prayer. That direct communication with our commander. Oh, how we need to be in prayer when we are under attack, my friends. That is one of the most powerful weapons you have at your disposal. When you are being attacked, get on your knees. That's how you fight the enemy, is on your knees. As a good soldier of Jesus Christ, you must be, and I must be, well-armed. We must be equipped for the battle. And the beautiful thing is, God has provided all these resources for us. They're all there. They're ready for us to take up and use. Am I taking them up and putting them to use? Last thing I'd like to look at is we're called to be strong. In both the passage in 2 Timothy and in this passage here in Ephesians, the first thing he says is be strong. Be strong in the grace that is in Christ Jesus. And then he says, be strong in the Lord and in the power of his might. And so, friends, I have some both bad news and good news for you. The bad news is that you on your own are no match for the devil and his evil confederates. You don't have what it takes on your own. He is stronger than you. But the good news is, my friend, is that with the Lord's help and with his strength, you do have the strength that you need, and you are stronger than the devil. So there is no reason that a believer needs to be defeated. The Lord's power is there for you and I. For you and I to be a good soldier, we must have spiritual strength. If you take a weak man that is barely able to stand and you put the best armor on him, he's still going to be an ineffective soldier, right? There must be strength. There must be power. So equipping for Christian service or combat must begin with the principle, be strong in the Lord and in the power of his might. And this has nothing to do with physical strength. Some of you young men are pretty buff and you're strong. You have a lot of muscles. That does not necessarily equate to a strong inner man. And that's good news for maybe you ladies that are a little smaller and less muscular. You have the same potential for inner strength, and maybe in some ways you might be stronger in our inner man. I think of Martha Shank. Physically, she wasn't exactly what I'd call muscular. But what about her inner man? I think she was strong in her inner man. So I want to ask you, how do we become strong in the Lord? How do you and I become strong in the Lord? That's an important question. We know how to get strong physically. You eat right and you exercise right, right? Well, the same is true spiritually. You eat right and you exercise right, and you'll become strong in the inner man. You see, maintaining a good, healthy diet is an imperative for keeping our bodies healthy and strong, right? We know that. Simple principle. If you're weak and sickly, you're not able to function well. You just don't have the power. Something comes your way, you just can't do it. But if you're eating right and exercising, you're strong. You have the strength that you need to do the task ahead. And so Paul's prayer earlier in Ephesians was that he would grant you, according to the riches of his glory, to be strengthened with might in the inner man. So how do you and I keep that inner soldier, that inner warrior, well fed? Well, the answer is pretty basic. Quality time with the Lord is how you strengthen your inner man. Quality time with the Lord is how you strengthen your inner man. You must spend that time reading His Word and praying. If you don't have that, you're going to be a weakling, a wimp spiritually. And I wonder if that's not the problem with too many Christians today, is they're just spiritual wimps because they're not eating right. They're not taking in the Word of God. They're not spending that quality time with the Lord. They just can't find the time for devotions. And then they can't figure out why there's so much defeat in their lives. I know quality time with the Lord is something that's hard for us to maintain. It's an area that Satan knows. If he can get us in that area, we're just going to be weak. So he assaults us in this area. Brothers and sisters, that is an area of our lives that we must guard, that quality time with God. We have to also learn to exercise right. Put into practice the things that we're learning and reading in Scripture. This is from Guzzi. God has vast resources of might that can be realized as power in our Christian life. But his might does not work in me as I sit passively. His might works in me as I rely on it and step out to do the work. It's not that I do everything and God does nothing. It's not that I do nothing and God does everything. Nor is it I do all I can and God helps me with what I can't. Each one of these approaches falls short. The key is for me by faith to rely on His strength and rely on it more and more and step out and do the work. Go ahead and get out there and do the task. Live out the Christian life. Make it real. Exercise that muscle, that spiritual muscle. And in that exercising, you will grow stronger. We need to just put it into practice. And sometimes we just feel like, oh, how can I do this? But just step out in faith. The Lord's power and strength is there for you. He'll help you. Just step out in faith and do it. And He will be there. A good soldier of Jesus Christ must be strong. They must be strong. So in conclusion, God has provided all the resources that you and I need to be a disciplined and armed and a strong soldier of Jesus Christ. The question is whether you and I will take a hold and use those resources that God has provided for us. So just look at your own life. Challenge you to look at your own life. Are you a good soldier of Jesus Christ? Is that how you think about yourself? I'm a soldier of the Lord Jesus Christ. Or are there areas where you're just lacking in that discipline that you need to be that good soldier? Are there areas that you need to cut out of your life that are holding you back from pleasing your commander? Are there areas where you're not taking up these resources that God has provided and not applying them to your life? And so you're unarmed when Satan comes with his attacks. And are you eating right? And are you exercising right? Are you putting into practice what you know so that you can be a strong, disciplined, well-armed soldier of Jesus Christ? So my challenge for you today and through this week is go forth and be a good soldier of Jesus Christ. Lord bless you.